Tole lege. I've been subjected to lots of new Cajun words, so I thought I'd give you a Latin word this morning. Tole lege. It's Latin for take up and read. Take up and read. These were the words that were heard by Augustine, the great theologian known for his confessions, at his conversion. He heard a small voice that said, Tole lege. And there was a Bible in the courtyard where he was at. And he took it up and he opened it. And it went to Romans 13:13-14, which basically says, let us behave properly, not in drunkenness or sexual promiscuity. He was both an alcoholic and a womanizer. And at that moment, the Lord had his attention. The back end of the verse says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And there, Augustine came to Christ. Now that is an old story, but the word is powerful. God's word is powerful. I remember it's about 5 years ago, I was early 30s, back in school again. And where I stayed when I got my doctorate was the boiler room down in the bottom of one of the old dormitories on the campus. And they would put 10 or 12 of us together. And I remember the first night being there, this huge hulk of a man walked in, long hair, twice my size. His name was Stephen. He sat on the edge of his little bunk, like we were in the military. I figured he was big enough I should get to know him before I went to sleep. I said, tell me your story. He said, well, I'm from Quebec. So that's interesting. He said, but I've lived most of my life in China. I was an entrepreneur. I said, how in the world did you end up in Kentucky in seminary? And he said, I had found no meaning in life and was extremely successful. And I started to listen to podcasts of the Bible being preached. And I came to Christ. Tole lege. Take up and read. You know, we understand that God's word is what brings salvation. And yet, beyond salvation of an Augustine or a Stephen, God's word is important for our everyday lives. It has the power to change us as followers of Christ. Recently, there was a survey done, it was about 6 months ago, of Protestant churchgoers. That would be us. And it asked, how often do you read God's word? It was a good survey, surveyed lots of people. It was well done by a reputable institute. And this is what it came back. 12% rarely read God's word. 5% read it once a month. 11% a few times a month. 12% once a week, and that may be when the pastor says turn to. 27% a few times a week. And 32% read every day. The great need for the church today is to be firmly planted in God's word. Tole lege. Why should you and I take in more of God's word in 2021? That's what I want to explore with you this morning. And I want to see three reasons to get into the Word. Just reminders. It's a fairly straightforward text, but it is a reminder to us and to our hearts that we need to be planted here. So turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 119. You can also pick it up in your phone on one of your apps. We're only going to be covering a couple of verses this morning. but they are rich. Psalm 119, and we're going to look at verses 9 to 12. 9 to 12. Appropriate as we're reading through the Psalms together. Psalm 119 is the largest, longest psalm. And just a tip, if you're going to be reading with us over the coming days, feel free to break Psalm 119 up. Don't let that be the speed bump that knocks you off the apple cart. Psalm 119, starting in verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure or blameless? By keeping it according to your word. With all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Your word I have treasured in my heart, that I might not sin against God. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. A short passage, but it packs a punch. The first reason you and I should be in the Word in 2021 is the Word keeps us from sin. The Word keeps us from sin. The psalmist starts in verse 9. He says, how can a young man keep his way pure? This idea of purity is wholeness, blameless, of one thing, not being double-minded, being pure. And there are three forces that work against this that are out there. The first is the whimsical self. The whimsical self. That would be you and I. It's interesting, in verse 9, it talks about this idea of a way. How can a young man keep his way pure? This idea of a way is actually a rut. It would be like what a farm cart would lock into and it would go. But often we get out of the rut, or we just stop altogether. We are prone to wander, prone to leave the God we love. And the Word has a way of bringing us back to center, to where we should be with our Lord. Second, a second force that can work against this idea of being pure is a godless culture. A godless culture, one that we live in. We live in a society that promotes materialism to be our joy. Entertainment worships self as if we are our hope, and the arts champion immorality. Academia mocks the idea of God. And any of these, if they catch our ear, have a chance of taking us out of a good rut. Third, and the most dangerous, is a cunning adversary. The Bible speaks much of Satan and how he is ultimately a deceiver. Satan takes truth and he twists it just a little, and we end up off by a mile. I was building some barn doors the whole break. I decided I was going to build two barn doors for our bathroom. Catherine and I are tired of waking each other up when we turn on the light. So I started working on these, and I got really fancy. I couldn't help myself. And I got to the end, and I thought, man, I got all these boards going all these different directions. This is going to be tough. So I measured and remeasured and cut. I even had to throw out boards because I cut them wrong. And I went to start to glue and tack them down, and I tacked a center board down, and I had two parallel boards that ran to it, that butted up against it. I tacked the board down, was feeling pretty good about myself, had actually glued it down and screwed it. Then I brought the other two boards to it, and they didn't even come close to fitting. And then I got mad, because that's what I do when my stuff doesn't work. I looked at it, and I was looking at the board, what is the matter with this board? And I looked right down here, and there was just a little bit off, just a little bit. But by the time it came to the other end, nothing would fit. And guys, when Satan deceives us, he doesn't do things in blatant. He takes the truth, he takes wisdom, and he skews it just a little. That's enough. And yet the Word has a way of being our measure. How can a young man keep his way pure? There's a lot that is gunning for you and me. The psalmist responds in the end of verse 9, by keeping it according to your word. God's word has a protective attribute. Actually, it has three protective attributes. The first is this is the ideal. Moody called it a straight stick that you can measure everything by. I had a professor in seminary. I was privileged to sit under Howard Hendricks for a while, very gifted professor. And he liked to say, he would tell the story every semester about being in God's Word and how do you tell a counterfeit in the culture that we live in and with Satan's schemes. And he would tell that the Secret Service, if they wanted to identify that a piece of money was counterfeit, they didn't study the counterfeit money. They studied actual money, the real thing. And they knew the real thing so well that they would be able to identify an imposter. And my friends, that is what the word is for us. There is plenty being peddled in our daily lives. This is truth. This is God's word. So one, it is the ideal. It is a straight stick. It is also like a fence that protects. When we bought our home, we knew we wanted to get a puppy dog. Matter of fact, I hold all of you responsible for the puppy dog because I felt like that would fit well in my first sermon, and I promised the kids a puppy dog in front of all of you. And one of the requirements was that we had a fence around our yard. So about 3 months ago, we bought our sweet puppy dog, who we named Indiana Rue. Rue, you all like that? There you go. Yesterday, I was working on the barn doors, and all of a sudden, I had kids coming up, Dad, the dog's out! And while I ran after the dog, asking, who let the dog out? He's barking on the other side of the street, being a real menace to a couple walking with their little girl. She's holding the little girl up in her arms, and I'm now that guy. To which I profusely apologized, and I didn't even bother saying he's not that mean. Who cares? But ultimately, the fence just isn't to keep Indiana in. It's also to protect him. Because we have cars that run through our neighborhood. And this dog apparently knows no bounds. My friends, what we find here is for our own good. It is for our protection. God knew we would need a fence. And we have an awesome yard to play in. But there are some things that are out of bounds. And God's word speaks to that. Third, the word is an offensive weapon. It is the only offensive weapon that the believer has. Three ways it protects: it is the ideal, it is a fence, and it is also a weapon. Ephesians 6 calls the word the sword of the Spirit. It's good to note that when Jesus was tempted by Satan, what did he do? He quoted Scripture. It is the believer's only recourse in the battle. So the word keeps us from sin. I have a mentor, had a mentor that would say, sin will keep you from the word, or the word will keep you from sin. There is a lot of truth to that, my friends. As we enter into 2021, some of you may be weary from 2020. And that's okay. But as we enter into 2021, could it be that your weariness from last year was that you were not taking in enough of God's word? Should we not feel weary apart from His word? One of the things we're trying to do in 2021, we're trying as a leadership, as a church, to encourage each of us to be in the word, is that we're reading through Psalms. We're doing a psalm a day. This would be an excellent way to onboard. And I understand that Psalms can be a complex book, but the more you're in this book, the more the Lord can teach. We would encourage you. It's not too late. If you'd like to join in with us, the first three Psalms only take up like a page. You can go home and catch up. But we'd encourage you, whether it be in Psalms, whether you have a plan to be in God's Word, whatever it is, you need a plan. Because without a plan, nothing will happen. In the Twin Towers, out of the Lord of the Rings series, I love the story when Gandalf the Grey comes to Theoden, king of Rohan. And he has been put under a spell by one of his advisors, Wormtongue. Gandalf realizes this and he drives off the advisor. And then at the very end of the scene, he looks at the king, he looks at one of his aides, and he says, "Bring the king his sword. His fingers would remember their old strength better if they grasped his sword." Tolle lege. My friends, this next year, may our power come from Christ and from His word alone. May we be in His word. Second, first, the word keeps us from sin. A second reason, the word is God's tool that changes us. You know, there are many smart experts, geniuses that write books and produce podcasts and put stuff all over the place, yet, apart from Christ, they have worldly wisdom. They will not change us. Only God's word will change us. And the problem, look at 10, verse 10, in the back half it says, "Do not let me wander from your commandments." The problem is we wander. You and I, we deliberately sin. There are corners of Michael's heart and your heart that are not surrendered to the Lord. Secret sin, pride, deliberate disobedience. There are times we know the right things and we just don't do it. The remedy, God's word. In verse 105 of Psalm 119, it says that it is a light unto our path. It makes us more like Christ. Elsewhere in Scripture, it calls the word a hammer on the conscience. We see in the book of Jeremiah, "Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks rocks into pieces." Sometimes God's word comes in the still and the quiet, like it came to Elijah. And sometimes it is like what came to John in Revelation, where it says, "He is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God." Tolle lege. The psalmist continues at the beginning of verse 10, "With all my heart I have sought you." My friend, this morning, as you enter into a new year, how is your hunger for God's word? How How is your hunger for God's word? In 10, in this passage, in verse 11, it says that he treasured the word. With all my heart I have sought you. What will you treasure in 2021? Fame, money, stuff, attaboys, security, comfort, power. There's a long list. You know, some of us will even spend our lives doing good things, but not great things that are eternal. We fritter away for the trivial. I ran into the story, Steve Jobs, of all good Apple products. Steve Jobs once looked at John Sculley, who was the executive for Pepsi, and he was trying to get Sculley to come work for Apple. And Jobs said this to Sculley, "Do you want to sell sugar water the rest of your life, or come with me and change the world?" I got news for Steve Jobs. Friends, this will last. God's word will march into eternity. We should invest well. But it's not enough just to be in the word. It's not just enough to take in the word. This will call us to action every time. I like what the old theologian J. Vernon McGee said, it's not just knowing, but applying. My friends, we know believers that can quote verse for verse for verse, and their lives don't look a thing like Jesus. This is to be a change agent in our lives. So it's fair to ask out of verse 10, is there anywhere where you and I have wandered in 2020? That's Steve Jobs. Is there anywhere where you have strayed? And let me give you three specific areas, three places that we know that God would have us to be tarrying. The first, how has your time in the Word been in 2020? The second, how are you engaging with this community? And there are some that can't be here because of health reasons. But interestingly, it is the habit that often gets us into trouble. It's when we could come and we don't. And third, it's not just for us. We are to be calling others to follow Jesus, to be in His Word, to come, to introduce them to Christ, that they may know the grace and the joy that we have. There are two things that are eternal, the Word of God and the hearts of men and women, boys and girls. That's it. Tole lege. Last, three reasons to get into the Word. First, the Word will keep you and I from sin. It has that property. Second, it is a tool that is designed to change us, to make us more like Christ, because that is who we find in these pages. And third, the Word reveals God to us. The Word reveals God to us. It is His revealed Word. It's how we come to know and even see Him. Notice the prayer in verse 12. Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. The prayer is, teach me your statutes. It's amazing that God would reveal Himself to you and me. In 12 at the back, you see this. It says, O Lord, it's capitalized. Anytime you see it capitalized, that is the name Yahweh. It is the personal relational name that God gave Moses at the burning bush. I am that I am, Yahweh. Spurgeon says, will God in very deed give us understanding This is a miracle of grace. It will, however, never be wrought upon us till we know our need of it. Let you, man, by faith cry, give me understanding. Give me understanding. Look at 12 again. The psalmist declares, blessed are you, O Lord, when God reveals himself to you and me. The response is always praise. It is the response when God reveals himself. And what does that look like in our lives? Look at verse 11. Your word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against you. It's a heart that treasures God's word and a will that is teachable and willing to follow. My friends, as you and I fall deeper in love with the word, we will fall deeper in love with Jesus. Tole lege. So the real question for each of us in 2021 is, what will our lives be for the sake of God this next year? Will we be useful? Will we bring him praise in how we order and live out our lives before him? My friends, God takes men and women with a little bit of discipline, and he does great things with them. Men and women with a little bit of discipline, and he does great things with them. As you enter into 2021, know that the greatest indicator for spiritual growth in the life of a believer is time in his word. 15 minutes a day, I like to say. 15 minutes a day will change your life. And can I add something here? Don't shoot for 7 days a week at first. 4 to 5 times a week, 15 minutes a day in this book will change your life. Start there. And the secret is, once you start, you'll want more. And you'll want more. And you won't be able to get enough. Because here is where we find Jesus. Jesus. So in 2021, how will you be in the Word? The close of this service, we don't have a closing song. We'll invite the prayer team up in a little bit, and we'll close with a blessing. But at the close of this sermon, I'm going to give you a minute just to sit and to reflect. What will you do with the Word in 2021? May it be tole lege. Why invest in the Word in 2021? The Word keeps you and I from sin. The Word will make you and I more like Jesus. And ultimately, it is the thing that will drive our relationship with the Lord deeper. About 30 minutes ago, I called my grandma. And I asked her permission to share this closing story. While I was singing here, another story popped in my mind, so I leaned over to Liam and I asked him permission as well. 5 years ago, and this was what I called and checked with my grandma when I was beginning my doctorate, my grandma, who was 82 years old. Do we have anyone 82? Don't have to raise your hands. I know you're here. At 82, for the first time in her life, she read through the entire Bible. She tried a second year, I believe, but her eyesight began to get her. My friends, you are never too old to start reading the Word. Grandma is now 88, And this morning I said, Grandma, did Mom tell you that we're reading through Psalms? She said, yeah, she did mention something about that, but Psalms is pretty hard. I said, Grandma, you should read with Psalms with me. And she said, that sounds like fun. I'll do it. 88. But let's not stop there. Liam is 8. This last semester, he's read both the book of Genesis and the book of John. And he's working his way through Exodus. My friends, young or old, this is where it's at. Because this is where we find Jesus. Tole lege. I would like to give you a minute now to reflect, just between you and the Lord. And it will be different. He will call different people to different things in different seasons. But what would the Lord call you to do to be in His Word this year? As I pray, I'd invite the prayer team to come up. Father, this morning, not as I have spoken, but as you have spoken to hearts in this room, as your word has spoken and your spirit has moved, Father, would this body defy the odds of 33%? And 32%. Would we be a church that drinks deeply from God's Word? And Lord, may that bear great fruit in our lives. Not that the Word is the end, but Christ is the end. And it is our desire to pursue Him well. And so may we come to know Him outside of Sunday morning. May the Word, may we draw strength from it in 2021. May it strengthen this body and the community that You have placed here. And Lord, may the overflow be that others come to follow Christ, that we are emboldened to speak of our faith because we have one to speak of. And Father, may that start with me. It's in the great name of Jesus we pray. Amen.